Looks to get it in. They get it to Boyd. Boyd gets it to Kyer. Kyer with three to Livingston. Long desperation three. It's good!
Hey 10. GiantKiller.co and the By George Podcasting Network presents an Atlantic 10 original. The Hey 10 Podcast featuring Petey Buckets and Grant LeBenz.
Tosses it in and it's over. Davidson is going to the dance. They win the Atlantic 10 Tournament Championship.
What is up, A10 fans? I am here with Petey Buckets. We are bringing you an off-season Hey 10 podcast. It's been a while since we've talked, Petey. I know you've got a lot going on in your life right now, and Atlantic 10 hoops are far away, but how have you been?
I'm good, man. I'm very good. I'm ready to start diving back into it soon. But yeah, a lot going on, like you said. Wife is pregnant, so there's a baby Buckets on the way. We bought a house. We both got new jobs, so we've been very, very busy, and I'm excited to decompress here by shooting the shit about A10 hoops.
Hell yeah. Can we expect to see a Baby Buckets Twitter handle popping up within the next couple months, especially as basketball season pops up?
Jesus, I hope not. Because that would mean someone else did it, so yeah.
That's maybe I'll get one out there for the fans, yeah, of the podcast and A10 in general. Yeah. But it's good to speak again. My mind has been away from A10 hoops for a while. Obviously, we have a couple more months to the start of the season. But you know, I think we reconnected more recently because Twitter was starting to juice up a little bit with preseason prognostications, especially with John Rothstein kind of coming out with his midsummer podcast. I know he breaks down each conference. He had Mike Rhodes on to talk about VCU, and then he gave his power rankings. And, you know, every time John Rothstein tweets something out, it's getting, you know, hundreds of retweets, and everyone is going
to
come after
thirsty.
Him and say he's wrong. Exactly. Yeah. People are thirsty for content. So, you know, we thought we'd come in, give you guys what we're thinking right now, and, you know, we're just shooting the shit. We have not done any deep dives. I was just talking to Petey, like, I don't know a lot of these newcomers yet. I need to go and literally do my research, especially on teams like, you know, St. Joe's or Fordham if I care to, and actually learn who's coming in, who their players are. But
that's funny. That
a little later in the show.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned St. Joe's, because I just when we were looking up our sleeper teams, I was just thinking, you know, St. Joe's, Billy Lang's been doing a great job of recruiting. So I went to their team roster, and it has six people on it. So I'm not ready.
I think they have four open roster spots to fill for this
year.
It's
tough to do like any sort of prognostication about St. Joe's at all.
And I don't know any of these guys too, because yeah, you know, you hear a guy that's transferring in who's like, oh yeah, you know, he's really good. He was at Gonzaga, and you look at it, it's like, oh, he averaged 3 points a game his first 2 years.
Yeah,
did he just not play a lot
or something? Yeah, yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So again, you know, we, for all the listeners, we're just shooting the shit. We're gonna take whatever heat you want to give us, and you can tell us about how we're underrating your team. That's fine, but we'll get into that a little later in the podcast. But first, you know, this podcast, it's going to be the first of many where we break down individual teams and have some guests on to talk about that know a little bit more about their team in particular versus us knowing a little bit more about the whole league. And today we're going to have Jack Godar, actually a writer over at A10 Talk, with me on. And he was big this year covering St. Louis. He's a huge fan of the team. And he is very knowledgeable about some of the upcoming guys. So he's going to break down the Billikens for us.
Awesome. Excited, man. You want to jump into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, great. So where are we starting? We start with power rankings?
Let's start with power rankings, yeah. So do you want to go ahead first and read off your power rankings? I know, drum roll here for it.
Yeah. So as Grant alluded to, these are a work in progress. So reserve the right to change my mind on all of these. But just sort of the way things are shaping up through the off season, I think directionally this is going to be mostly accurate in terms of where we land. And I think we're largely going to be in a similar area with a couple exceptions. But my first tier, the top two teams in the A10, I think there's no debate here. The first tier, VCU and Davidson. You could argue that VCU might, you know, maybe should be a click above Davidson just because of how good they were at the end of the season. Davidson, the thing I would say to that is that Davidson still returns their entire roster. They still don't have much of a bench, you know, but they've got more time for, you know, for that to sort of emerge as the season goes on. But I think we've got a pretty clear 1-2 or 1-1A, however you want to look at it, and that's VCU and Davidson. Tier number two, I think I deviate from the crowd a little bit here. I've got Dayton and St. Bonaventure. I know a lot of people have Rhode Island in that four spot. I'm not ready to put them there yet. I think, I have more confidence that the Bonnies are going to be really good just because Kyle Lofton is so freaking good. And Osun really broke out towards the end of last year. So those are my tier two teams. Next tier, Rhode Island and St. Louis. I've got them both in the sort of like tons of talent, but also a lot of question marks kind of area. So, you know, we know that they're going to put talent on the floor, but we also know that there are a lot of unknowns that they're going to need to have go right if they're going to live up to their potential. Tier four, I've got Richmond, George Mason, and Duquesne. Tier five, I've got UMass, LaSalle, GW, and St. Joe's. And all alone in tier six is Fordham because, as is tradition, they're just going to be absolutely terrible. That's what my power rankings are looking like.
I was going to say with Fordham, I've been cracking up on Twitter with every time power rankings come out for the A-10 and Fordham is 14th, somebody will reply with Fordham too high. And it's funny and it's a good joke, but there will be like 97 likes on that reply alone from fans across the league. And it is just hilarious to me how everyone comes together to make fun of Fordham being 14th. But regardless, I like your power rankings. I think you made some good points. Obviously, you know, as we mentioned, these are subject to change. I'll kind of lay down what I've got, and we can, you know, break it down a little bit more if we want. But I took a little bit of a more traditional route and just ranked them straight up. I think the tiering is a good way to kind of handicap your rankings just because, you know, people will come after you if eight sometimes means the same thing as five. But yeah. Regardless, I've got VCU one as well. I think the Rams are destined to win the A-10 again. You know, they're probably going to be a top 25 team at the start of the season. They're bringing back just about everybody. And I think Marcus Santos Silva in particular is due for a breakout year and might be one of the best players in the league.
He's a monster.
He is a monster. I've got Davidson number two, my Wildcats. Like you mentioned, depth is going to be a bit of an issue. But overall, that starting five is incredible. They've got a good freshman in Hyunjung Lee coming in. I've been doing a bit of research on him. He seems to be a really good shooter. And obviously, Davidson is good at three-point shooting, so he'll add to that repertoire. But I've got Dayton three. I think the Flyers have a good chance at making the NCAA tournament. Going to be interesting to see how all those new transfers mesh. You know, you got like five guys that were sitting out last year from across the league. And, you know, like we mentioned, guys at Michigan that played 5-10 minutes a game, we have no idea how good they actually are. You know, obviously highly touted and highly recruited players, but haven't had a lot of collegiate experience. So we'll see how that goes. I've got Rhode Island four. I think the Rams are ready to have a big year. Got some good freshmen coming in. Look out for Jacob Toppin, brother of Obi Toppin. Mm-hmm. We got five, St. Bonaventure. Like you mentioned, I like the Bonnies. I think they're going to have a good shot this year. Outside of their big three, I'm a little concerned on who's going to step up. I know there's some new players coming in, some transfers, but we're going to have to see. I know I should never doubt Mark Schmidt. He always finds a way to put it together. But I got Richmond sixth. I'm a big fan of what the Spiders have coming in this year, especially Blake Francis, who's a transfer from Wagner, who's averaging 17-plus a game. So he's someone to look out for. But, again, depth an issue for the Spiders, and Chris Moody obviously kind of an issue for the Spiders. So we'll see how that ends up. Duquesne 7th, St. Louis 8th, George Mason 9th. Three teams that I think will take a bit of a step back. Duquesne was supposed to have a big year, and then Eric Williams Jr. transferred, so now I'm not really too sure about the Dukes, but still have Sincere Carey returning, still have Tavian Dunn-Martin, still have, you know, a bunch of weapons, and Keith Dambrot's obviously a great coach. I've got Massachusetts 10th, LaSalle 11th, St. Joseph 12th, obviously three rosters here that have a bunch of newcomers and really have no idea what to expect. St. Joe's, like you were talking about, I really have no idea who any of these guys are, and until we see them play in November, December, we really have no idea to see how good they actually are. So that is a variable team that could move around. And then 13th George Washington and 14th Fordham bringing in at the last spot. So those are my power rankings.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that about Duquesne, because I think I feel the same way. A lot of people are still carrying over last season's expectation of like, oh, watch out for Duquesne next year. You know, they're going to be great. But I don't know if people realize just how good Eric Williams is, and they don't really have a ton of star power to fill in for him, so to speak. You know, they still got a really fun backcourt with Sincere Carey and Tavian Dunmartin. Michael Hughes, I think, is probably one of the most underrated players in the A-10. He's their forward. He's fantastic. But one thing that really jumps out, I was looking through their KenPom page. They do not have a lot of three-point shooting without Eric Williams. Eric Williams shot 37% on high volume from three. And all their other guys, if you look up and down the roster, it's like 31%, 28%, 32%. So they're not a lot of guys who are, you assume a few guys are going to take a step forward, but not really obvious who's going to fill that gap for them. So it's a little bit of a concern for Duquesne. And I think maybe at some point in the offseason we'll have Johnny from the Bluff Blog on here, because I feel like he's a diehard Dukes fan. He'll probably want to fight us if he listens to this.
I think you make a good point, though. I mean, it seems, you know, everyone's discounting George Mason this year. George Mason, Duquesne, probably two teams that felt pretty similar skill-wise and talent level at the end of last year. George Mason obviously is supposed to take a step back, losing Otis Livingston, but, you know, still have guys like Justin Kyer coming back. Bring in a couple new guys. You have Jordan Miller, who's stepping up big and seems like he's due for a good year. But yeah, it seems like they're losing similar amounts of talent, with Duquesne now losing its best player, George Mason losing its best player, but everybody else is kind of still hanging around. And in that regard, it's kind of funny to me that George Mason's taken a big hit in most power rankings, while Duquesne is still hanging around the 5-6-7 line for most people. I think you make a great point in that people aren't really taking that into account. Sorry.
I'm sure we'll get to it a bunch in the off season. I'm starting to come around to this year's Mason team, so I don't want to dwell on it right now. But I will say, first, Otis Livingston was not himself for like most of last year, and Jared Reuter did not mesh with the team's style of play whatsoever. So I think there's a chance of addition by subtraction as far as Reuter is concerned. And I think that, the Otis Livingston that we saw last year was not the same Otis Livingston that we saw in his junior season, when he was just absolutely lighting the world on fire. I'm a big Mason homer. Obviously, if this is your first time listening, you should know that. Season ticket holder for forever now. So take everything I say about Mason with a grain of salt. But we're back, baby. Do we want to move to all-conference teams?
Let's do it. I'll go ahead first. My first team all-conference, not too many surprises here. I've got John Axel Goodmanson first, and as my predicted player of the year, I think John will go back-to-back. He's been the most consistent player in the A-10 last season. I think he'll carry that into his senior year. The one thing to look out for, though, is that Kellen Grady really wasn't himself this past year, and if he's taking a little bit more of the scoring load and potentially taking away from John's production, that could even those two out. Still both going to be great players, but, in some regard, you might see Obi Toppin step up and just dominate Dayton and lead the league in scoring and become the top player. But I got Jag, I got Marcus Evans, I got Obi Toppin, Cyril Langevin. I think he's due for a big year, kind of unfairly left off that first-team all-conference, in my opinion. And same to Jacob Gilliard, the Spiders point guard, who has been an absolute monster in terms of points, steals, and assists. Just a pesky player. So that's my first team. Petey, who do you got?
I got Kellen Grady. Very surprised to see that you don't have him on there. But Kellen Grady, my first team. Marcus Evans, I think it would be a shock. Like, barring injury, Marcus Evans, you can just pencil him in for the first team. Same thing with Obi Toppin. And then where we differ here is I've got Jeff Doughton on the first team. I think he's clearly one of the premier talents in the A-10. but he's never made a first team. I think this is his year. And then I've got Kyle Lofton. I think Kyle Lofton's going to be a superstar. And if the Bonnies are as good as I think they're going to be this year, it's going to be because he plays like a first teamer.
Nice. Giving a shout out to the folks in Olean. You know they are always listening and always ready for any bone you'll throw them. So I love it. Speaking of, you know, some up and coming players or teams, let's get into who your sleeper pick is this year. And I know there's a couple out there, especially as we talk with some of these new rosters where we don't know a lot of players. Some of these teams could step up and be big. Petey, mm-hmm. who do you have as your A-10 sleeper heading into next season?
Yeah, so I'm split here between a couple of teams. I feel like Bonaventure's not getting quite enough love. I would probably put a bet on Bonaventure finishing in the top four, and most people have him like just outside. You know, like in the 5, 6, 7 range. So I think Bonaventure is going to outperform expectations. Also, I sort of penciled in Mason down at this point because, like I said, I haven't done a ton of research yet. So I was just like, yeah, my boys from Mason should be better this year. But yeah, honestly, I was, you know, and I don't mean to steal your shine here, but I was thinking like people are sleeping on Richmond this year, and I know you've got him down as your sleeper, but now like everybody and their mother is talking about how, you know, people are underrating Richmond, and that terrifies me if I'm a Spiders fan.
Yeah, that so you ruined the surprise. That is my sleeper pick. I know John Rothstein had him as his sleeper pick as well, and I think for good reason. I mean, you've got Nick Sherrod coming back. People do forget that, you know, the Spiders lost one of their most productive players at the beginning of the year, and we're playing real shorthanded. So, you know, you've got Nathan Kayo, Grant Golden, Nick Sherrod mm-hmm. coming back. You've got Jacob Gilliard, and as I mentioned, you got Blake Francis, who's a very, very productive guard coming in, Wagner transfer, who could put up a lot of scoring. It is a bit odd because Richmond has just been completely in the A-10 Twitter news for the wrong reasons in the past two seasons, right? You know, you had that whole billboard thing. You've got the Fire Mooney Mafia. It just feels like the whole program is kind of tumbling down, and this is kind of the last season for everything to come together, you would think, for Chris Mooney. You know, we keep being surprised and seeing him come back. Who knows?
It's going on 5 straight years right now, right?
This is the season.
He's got to figure it out, yeah.
Exactly, but it's a bit weird. I feel like so many people are saying Richmond's a sleeper pick now that it's almost like the expectations are high enough where they're not a sleeper. So I have them sixth right now. I think they have the talent. Again, that doesn't mean a lot if you can't play to it, if you can't put a productive roster out there. Like, I think Bob McKillop and Mark Schmidt are two guys that can make something out of nothing with a decent roster, put together a team that'll finish third or fourth in the A-10 and actually have a shot at making the NCAA tournament. Whereas Chris Mooney's a guy that's got, you know, all of the best players in the league on his roster, three guys that are up and coming, you know, juniors that are ready to take a big step up, and then they just don't win games. So,
and they're just, and they're
it'll
still
be
not
interesting.
There's still not much reason to think that they'll be good defensively. So I think everybody has him as a sleeper for the same reason, right? It's like Jacob Gilliard is really, really, really freaking good. He's one of those guys where if he's like 4 or 5 inches taller, his skill level, people are talking about him like a future pro, but he's just really short, you know, so he's going to be a great college basketball player. But Jacob Gilliard's great. Grant Golden, obviously one of the best big men in the A-10. And then, you know, Nick Sherrod's coming back. Nathan Kayo really came into his own last year. And then you add a scoring transfer, and it's like, you know, this team's going to put up points. They're going to – I think they're going to have some games where they just where they're just absolutely scorching the nets. You know, and the question becomes, can they do it night in, night out? Can they defend? Can they get stops? Especially when you look at the more complete teams in the A-10, you know, are they really going to be able to steal games from VCU or Davidson or Bonaventure or Rhode Island? And then, you know, are they going to be able to, how are they going to be able to do at avoiding those slip-ups against the bottom of the conference? So, you know, I think they're going to be really good offensively. I think they're probably going to play a lot of track meets this season. And, you know, I want to like them more, but since everybody else likes them so much, I can't.
Yeah, to your point, Richmond fourth offensively in KenPom efficiency and 13th defensive efficiency in the conference last season. Also, pretty poor rebounding team. You talk about post depth. I mean, you've got Grant Golden as your anchor in the center, but after that, the Spiders are running pretty thin down low, and if he's getting in foul trouble, I worry about who's gonna pull down rebounds, who's gonna play the post. And you know, you got some good big men across the league. You talk about Lane Javon, you talk about some of these other guys. That's somewhere where they could get beat. But you're right, they're gonna be an interesting team to watch, and obviously following the Fire Mooney Mafia, it never gets boring. So we'll see how that goes next year. Talking a little bit further down the road, who's going to make the NCAA tournament this year? I mean, we had two bids last year, and that was kind of one of the worst years for the league, but now the expectations are a little bit higher. You know, you got VCU and Davidson as potential fringe top 25 teams. How many teams end up making the big dance, and who do you think they are, Petey?
So I got three teams right now, VCU, Davidson, and Bonaventure. I think I'm not quite sold on Rhode Island yet. I mean, maybe my mind will change when I start digging in more. Dayton is like, they're going to be good, but there are just so many transfers, and especially in that critical OOC part of the schedule when everybody's still getting used to playing with each other. Guys don't quite have time to gel. It kind of makes you wonder, are they going to pick up enough key wins in order to guarantee or in order to put themselves in a good position for an at-large bid? So I'm a little more skeptical of those two. So right now I'm going with VCU, Davidson, and Bonaventure.
Sure, I think good points. I've got VCU, I've got Davidson, I've got Dayton, and I've got Rhode Island. And obviously the biggest question mark on that list is Rhode Island. But I am pretty high on the Rams. I think the way Fats Russell played at the end of last season was really uplifting for this team, and just getting some momentum at the end of the season and something to carry over in the offseason. You know, you lose at home to Fordham in a year, that kicks you down, and it's not a great feeling. But part of the issue too is it seems like Rhode Island really plays as well as Fats Russell plays. I mean, Jeff Doughton and Cyril Langevin are kind of givens, but Russell takes a lot of shots. He's kind of that core third player in that rotation of stars for the Rams. And if he's not performing well, if he's going into a slump and he's not shooting well, at the start of the season especially, where you've got games against Utah State, I think, you've got a Maryland game, Rhode Island has a bear of a non-conference schedule. So if they're not performing, they don't win, you know, 50-60% of those games, it's not going to happen for the Rams.
That's the one big gigantic question mark for them is Fats. You know, obviously David Cox was a first-year coach last year. I, you know, in a first-year coach who's coaching that many freshmen and sophomores, it's such an inexperienced team. I give, you know, I didn't think – there were a lot of things David Cox did last year I disagreed with, but I give guys in that situation just a really, really wide berth, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does this year. But I think all the other question marks just kind of pale in comparison to what do they get out of Fats, because we know that Langevin's going to be great. We know that Doughton's going to be great. We know that the talent around them, they're going to have some really good role players. But, you know, I think Fats was – and I don't think this is, like, statistically valid. I think it's that Fats was one of the worst players who shot as much as he did last year in the entire NCAA. So it's like – at the end of the day, it's a pretty simple equation. If he shoots, you know, 15, 20 points better this season, Rhode Island's going to be a wagon.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we're both kind of in the range of where most A-10 fans feel the league will end up in a 3-4 bid league, which realistically is a positive thing. You know, seeing the league down in the dumps last year, you know, you barely get two bids, with VCU losing in the quarterfinals after Marcus Evans goes down with an injury. But I think VCU and Davidson do feel like the two teams right now that should more or less be locks. I think Davidson has some work to do. I think VCU is going to be expected to do well and is going to have that, you know, that top 25 start to the season where it kind of feels like they're in until they prove they're not in. So those two teams should be pretty much in the mix. And then I agree, Dayton, Rhode Island, St. Bonaventure, and, you know, whoever else is popping up, is it's all going to depend on non-conference. And I think that's, for me at least, one of the most exciting times of the year, because, you know, you're always rooting on the A-10, you're rooting on every game, every team, whereas, you know, some of the conference games, you know, if you don't have a rooting interest, it's kind of like, well, you know, I want the league to do well, but this game doesn't matter that much.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it, man. It's going to be fun. Like you said, a lot of teams scheduled really well. We're going to have teams vying for those at-large bids in the out-of-conference. And, you know, there's going to be not exactly a new world order because we still got VCU and Davidson and probably Dayton at the top. But, you know, a lot of teams are going to look a lot different. So it's going to be a great year.
It's going to be fun. Petey, I am looking forward to November. I'm looking forward to the next couple months breaking down some of these teams with you. And make sure to follow Petey Buckets on Twitter, at Petey Buckets. Make sure to follow at A10 Talk for all your A10 Twitter news and updates. I am currently working on an article called Ranking the Top 100 Players in the Atlantic 10. And I'm trying to write about a paragraph on each guy. And
the top 100?
The top 100.
That's insane.
It's a slow process. I think I'm going to try to get it out by like late August. So trying to do like one or two guys a day, do a little bit of research and, you know, write a quick paragraph. We'll see how long that takes. But it's my way of getting back in the mix of things and learning some of these guys before the season starts. But be on the lookout for that and be on the lookout for some more podcasts.
I'm very excited to see you get flamed on Twitter for putting somebody at like 57 that should be at number 65.
Exactly, yeah, right? Like, oh, Keyshawn Pritchett's way too low, man. Yeah. All right.
awesome. Well, anyways. Yeah, stay tuned, everybody. We got a breakdown of St. Louis with Jack Odar coming right up.
Dave Paulson, head basketball coach at George Mason University. It's been fun to work together with By George. I think their passion for Mason basketball is outstanding, and their constant presence at practices, games, at home, on the road. A great follow for all of you fans. I'm feeling good as you.
All right, A10 fans, this is the Hey 10 Podcast, and we are here with Jack Godar. Follow him on Twitter, at Jack Godar. But Jack is here to talk to us about St. Louis Billikens basketball. Jack is a diehard St. Louis fan. Usually, when you say that somebody's a diehard basketball fan at the mid-major level, it means that they went there to that school. That is not the case of Jack. Jack actually attended Holy Cross. And Jack, why don't you say what's up and tell us a little bit about how you got into Billikens basketball?
How's it going, everyone? But I've just always been a huge Billikens fan. My dad's been taking me to the games since I was probably like 4 or 5 years old. That's how it really was when I remember going to the games. So like seeing them at like the Scott Trade, the Savas, the Keel, whatever it's called, now at the K Fitz Arena. And I've always watched SLU, always caught as many games as possible. It's just always been part of the family, always just been something that I've done and never really stopped at Holy Cross.
Yeah, that's awesome. Was your the A10 tournament last year, was that a family affair or what?
I was up there, and then, yeah, my mom and dad came up and my sister came up because they didn't want to pass it up, and Kathleen was looking at some colleges, so we were all there. I didn't get to see as much of them because I was on press row. But yeah, that's also cool.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's where Jack and I actually met at the A10 tournament in Brooklyn. For those of you who don't know, I get my press passes to the A10 tournament through By George, and By George's press passes are not as good as the press passes that A10 Talk gets. So I usually just sort of hover, see what seats are open. And A10 Talk had a couple seats open, and Jack was sitting in one of them. We started chatting, we were shooting the shit, and you're a good dude to watch a game with. Very knowledgeable, very well informed, especially about A10 stuff. So I'm really excited to have you on and start breaking down St. Louis a little bit for us. Yeah, and I think I will go ahead and kick it over to Grant and go ahead and start the interrogation here.
Okay. Yeah. Well, first of all, before we get into next season, I know we're talking a little bit about what we think is going to happen in 2019-20. Jack, tell us about the A-10 tournament and following St. Louis all of last year. Obviously, it was a bit of a roller coaster. You know, the Billikens started off the year somewhat strong. You know, got that non-conference road win over Seton Hall. It was kind of a fringe top 25 team. And then, you know, shit kind of hit the fan early in conference play. It looked like St. Louis might not even finish top six. And then they won the A-10 tournament. So what was that, you know, kind of emotional roller coaster like for you? And would you say covering the Billikens at the A-10 tournament was, you know, maybe the best series of games you've been to in your life following St. Louis basketball?
Oh, I mean, Pete knows as well as anyone, I was kind of a wreck during a lot of those games. but yeah, it was really incredible. I couldn't believe it was happening. I was pretty convinced myself just that something was going to go wrong at basically every single game. And they just kept proving it wrong. And then it was like, I kept thinking, like, if it was positive, that would, like, break the curse. You know, not curse, but, like, break the streak. So I had to, like, keep sort of telling myself to be negative. And I didn't really, like, fully, like, accept it, like, until there was, like, 3 minutes left. It was incredible. The whole year was...
Sorry, something almost did go wrong. Weren't you guys down like 10 to Richmond in the opening round of the A-10 tournament, like deep into the second half?
I think it was the Richmond game. There's a lot of times just throughout that whole thing where they just had to dig down. And it's just such a tough team, and like they were all super close that year, and they're still all really close. But like last year was something really special, and I think they just had like an extra reserve that they could dig into that other teams didn't have. And it was just really cool to watch it that whole year, like through kind of all the like strife and everything that was happening. They kept fighting, things started clicking, and then it all just sort of came together perfectly for the tournament.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the big reasons St. Louis did so well last year, especially down the stretch in March, was Javon Bess and Tremaine Isabel. And unfortunately, you know, those two, among a few others, are graduating, have graduated at this point, and will not be on the court next year for the Billikens. So, you know, St. Louis obviously not picked to repeat and take the A-10 tournament title again, but, you know, some people probably have them as high as fifth or sixth in their preseason power rankings. I'm curious where you see St. Louis finishing next season in the A-10, and who are some of the guys that are going to replace the production that Javon Bess and Tremaine Isabel gave Travis Ford's club throughout last year?
I really have no idea how the season's going to turn out. The keys are two obvious ones, really. I think it's Jordan Goodwin and Hassan French. I think they, like, it's traditional. A lot of people will take a big leap between sophomore and junior year, and, like, we've seen them. They're two of the best players in the league, probably, but it's also very clear the spaces that they can improve on, and I think they know the spaces they can improve on. I think that they have the potential to be two top 10 players, maybe even top 5 players in the league, and depending on how good they are, that drives the team. SLU also has a really interesting crop of incoming players, and I think the one I'm most excited about, and probably the person who I think is going to be the most underrated freshman in the A-10, is Terrence Hargrove, who he's out at East St. Louis. He led them to their first state championship in school history, I think. And like during the Illinois state tournament, like people were saying this kid's probably the second best player in Illinois. Like, he was that good. And I think he would have been a lot higher in the recruiting rankings had he not committed SLU so early. I think he's going to take a lot of people by storm. He's just a crazy athlete. He can step out a little bit and shoot it. Got a good, decent mid-range game, but he's just an electric athlete, high effort guy, really smart kid. And I think he's going to kind of take the A-10 by storm. And we got another wing, Gibson Jimerson, who could just shoot the lights out of the ball. Post-Dispatch just covered him recently. And then if Javonte Perkins comes in, he's another wing. That, I mean, they're not going to replace the production that Javon Bess gave us, but they're going to be, I think they're all going to be very good. And Hargrove's probably the dark horse candidate for A-10 Rookie of the Year. I really think that.
Really? And now, what are your thoughts on Fred Thatch? I think Thatch was on Rothstein's breakout list that he tweeted out a few days ago, and I hate it when Rothstein tweets things, and I'm like, yeah, it's a good point. But Thatch was like, he's good last year, but he was kind of buried in a very good rotation, and definitely seems like a guy who might, he's going to be in a position to take on a lot more this year. Definitely seems like he might have the skill to carry the load there.
I think skill's kind of Thatch's trouble right now. Like, he's an unbelievable athlete. I mean, he's like 6'2", 215, 220.
He's built like a strong safety. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and he can jump out of the gym. He's incredibly fast. He's probably one of the top five on-ball defenders in the A-10. He's just incredible. It's just sort of learning, getting his jump shot under control, making that more consistent, finding ways to score off the dribble. If he can step up his offensive game, then yeah, he'll be a break. He'll have a big breakout. He's definitely going to play a very important role. And I just want to point out, just how insane the backcourt for SLU is going to be with Jordan Goodwin and Fred Thatch. Like you said, Thatch is built like a strong safety. Goodwin was recruited to play tight end at Iowa. That's not a backcourt that people are going to want to go against. Yep.
Yeah, and then you've got Hassan French, who also would be like the A-10 MMA champion if we ever had such a tournament. Yeah. So, St. Louis is going to punish people.
Sure. Definitely definitely a powerful backcourt coming in. I got to ask, though, too. I mean, St. Louis last year was 335th in the nation in three-point shooting, only shot 30.4% from behind the three-point arc as a team. And St. Louis's two best three-point shooters, Javon Best, Tremaine Isabel, only averaged 32.5% from long range. Anybody else on the team last year that's coming back shot less than 30%. Where do you see the Billikens' three-point production coming from, if any? And do we see any sort of improvement in overall team shooting from behind the three-point line?
So I think I'd mentioned him earlier, but Gibson Jimerson he's just a lights-out shooter out of Monte Verde Academy. He's a Charlotte or Richmond guy. He's a North Carolina guy. But he's an incredible shooter. I think he's going to kind of be the knockdown shooter for the team. And then I'm kind of banking on Jordan Goodwin to improve his shot a little bit. His upper body mechanics are fine. If you look at him shoot, it doesn't look bad at all. But his big problem is sort of his power transfer from getting his the power from his lower body and making sure that it is consistent in getting it up to his upper body, basically. And so I feel like that's something that you can kind of might be able to address over the summer. No one works harder than Jordan Goodwin, except for maybe Javon Best. But he's been in the gym a ton. I think he has a good shot of working that out. And then Kevontae Perkins, it was I think he averaged 28 a game in JUCO, and he's a pretty good shooter too. So Jimerson and Perkins are probably going to be the two shooting threats. Then hopefully Goodwin and Thatch can improve their jump shot a bit. It's still probably going to be pretty rough.
Right. Might be a bit tough for the Billikens from three. Go ahead, Pete. I know you had another question, but that is.
Yeah. So what do you have a read on what the starting lineup's going to look like? Would you put money on a starting five at this point?
I think about this a lot, and it's clear it's going to be Goodwin, Thatch, French. Those are going to be the main three. I think the other two, I think it's going to be determined by practice. I don't know if there's going to be a set starting lineup, or it might just rotate depending on what he feels like. I would expect Hargrove to make his way into the lineup, but again, I'm extremely high on him. And then it depends if Hargrove's comfortable playing the four, then you can see Jimerson there, you can see Perkins there, you can maybe see Tay Weaver there. He's a grad transfer coming in from Eastern Kentucky. There's a lot of different guys, and it's just kind of who's going to be able to differentiate themselves from the pack in early season play and practice. I think, I don't even know if Ford has an idea of who's going to be the two of the starters.
Yeah. So we got three that are penciled in, basically, and then the other two are up for grabs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So realistically, what are you expecting from this SLU team? I think, one thing is I think a lot of people have SLU in the 5 to 9 range in their rankings that I've seen, which to me tells me that's people are just guessing, right? You're just kind of shrugging your shoulders and you're like, well, I don't think they're top four. But I also don't think they're bottom four, because bottom four is reserved for like GW, Fordham, LaSalle, and those teams. So I think like a lot of people are in this boat of like they don't really know what to expect. Is that where you are as well?
I think if they're lower than top six, I'll be disappointed, honestly. Which I know, like the A-10 stacked, we lost a lot of guys, but also like there's a reason Jordan Goodwin is probably the biggest recruit we've had since Larry Hughes. Using Hassan French was a four star. Like, I mean, those are two guys you should be able to expect to carry a team to at least the top six finish, I think. And I think if they progress how they should, then I think that's what should be the expectation for SLU fans.
And obviously next year, you know, a top six finish I think would be great for the Billikens. You know, probably a team that's unlikely to get back to the NCAA tournament, especially with all the youth on the roster. You know, some of these incoming guys like Hargrove might need a year or two to really develop. But do you see 2020-2021 as a season where the Billikens, you know, with seniors and Goodwin and French, then could make it back to the Big Dance potentially as an at-large?
Yeah, I think that would be their best shot to make it as an at-large. I think that'll be a very important year for Travis Ford. Like, I mean, not like job security-wise or anything. He's fine with that, but just for in terms of the state of the program, and I think probably what he has expectations for himself, I think he's expecting this team to do a lot of big things this year, and I think next year is going to be, he's expecting it to be a really, really big year. Like, the way he recruits and the way he gets players, this is his guys, this is his squad, and we'll be looking at like his first like stretch of like all like 4-year players, and I think that's pretty, yeah, it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Now, I have a question about who carries the scoring load, because I'm looking at St. Louis's roster now, and it looks like they lost like 50 points from last season, I think.
Yeah.
Between Bess, Isabel, Foreman, Deion Wiley, Cartieri Gordon's not coming back. Like, they do not have much scoring. They got Goodwin and French, both around the 9 or 10 points per game mark. So those guys average, you know, together about 20 points a game. Everyone else is like 4 or 4.5 points a game or less.
Yeah, no, Goodwin and French got to each be at least 15 a game for this team to be successful. I've gone over Goodwin's shooting struggles, and he had some rough luck, like finishing at the rim, which you wouldn't expect for someone like as strong as him. He's got like a 6'10" wingspan or something. French, same thing. He's not as efficient as he looks like down low. Like, it feels like that little like hook he has should be automatic, but he really only shot about 46% from the field. So there's a lot of room for improvement. And if those guys become higher volume and more efficient, which is hard to do in tandem, I'll admit. That's kind of, I think, what the expectation is. And then I think we'll see Javonte Perkins pick up a lot of the scoring. He averaged about, 28 points a game in JUCO. And it's still, like, it's not A-10 level competition, but it's still a decent level of competition. I think he'll be able to step in and have a pretty big impact. And hopefully Thatch can step up his offensive game, but I think those are kind of the four guys who are gonna really look to for scoring.
Mm-hmm. Well, it should be an exciting year for St. Louis. I mean, I know a lot of us still have, you know, questions about where they're actually going to end up. You're pretty confident and, you know, hoping they'll be top six, and anything less would be a disappointment. And I think that's a pretty fair take for, you know, a team that lost two of its best players, but has some good guys coming in, but, you know, also won the conference tournament last year. I want to segue into kind of a league-wide question. I don't want to make you come up with power rankings on the spot, but who do you see winning the league this year? Who do you see, other than St. Louis, maybe as like a potential sleeper? And how many A-10 teams do you see making the NCAA tournament this year, Jack?
All right. I'm going to go in reverse order, I think.
Okay.
So, I think three teams are going to make the NCAA tournament. There were a lot of like mid-major teams last year, but I'm always so skeptical of the NCAA. I think there are going to be more teams that deserve to be in the tournament from the A-10 than teams that get in, just because the more power teams in the NCAA tournament, the more money all of those power teams get. As for sleeper team, I don't know, maybe it's Richmond's year, man. Like, I don't know.
See, another one. Yeah.
it's the same thing. Like, Gilliard and Golden, like, if they make that jump from, like, sophomore to junior, they could be really dangerous. I love Jacob Gilliard's game. And then I think Davidson's going to win the league.
Nice.
And then I think Bonham might win the tournament.
I could see that.
Jack's got some takes, man.
I know. But,
no,
you know, not too far out there. I mean, we talked a little bit. Like, yeah, everyone's saying Richmond's a sleeper this year to the point where not a sleeper.
Yeah, a lot of people like Richmond.
Right. But hopefully, Jack, I'll get to meet you in person this year if you're going back to Brooklyn to see the A-10 tournament. I'm planning on making it up there this year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if so, hope to see St. Louis in a good position where, you know, like last year, you get to watch a couple games and it's not just a one and out or something.
Awesome. Well, thanks a bunch for coming on, Jack, and everyone else. Thanks for listening. And I think we will see you next time, and we'll have to have you on again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thanks, Jack. I've got excitement.